ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Australia's always been the lucky country. Sunshine, beaches, and that one magpie that always seems to know where you live.
Yeah, get away from my chip, please. Luck might not cut it anymore.
So can we make our own luck and turn this complicated world to our advantage?
That's our global roaming summer season. Can Australia surf the world's chaos without wiping out?
Fresh new episodes all summer. Search for Global Roaming on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One night, me and my wife were sitting around playing with the dog, and we asked him to say mama, 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 mama. No, Mickey, Mickey, say mama, 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 mama. That's a good dog.
In 1957, this Canadian guy made the news.
Ed, Paul.
Because apparently, his little terrier could speak. It must have been a slow news week, because I don't think that dog is speaking.
A little better. Helen. And I think you can say Georgie too, can't you? Georgie, Georgie, Georgie. That's a good dog.
Mate, that dog cannot say Georgie. But you do have to admit, a dog that can talk would be pretty amazing, right?
Let's go to the park.
What did you just say? On ABC Radio National, this is What the Duck, and I'm Ann Jones. And if you look on the local dog forum, they'd probably be discussing the rumour that I'm not a dog person. And how rude. And what? Was I brought up by wolves or something? Dogs. They are so significant that we have puppuccinos, and we structure our day around their walkies. They're so significant that humans see them in constellations. We have them as zodiac symbols and use the word as a synonym for friend. They will always give a report on your boyfriend's trustworthiness, but a dog will never judge you for who you bring home. They are simply a part of humanity and have been for about 25,000 years. So you'd think by now we'd be able to, you know, have a conversation with them. It's time to brush up on your language skills and start to speak like a dog. Puppy school is in session because this is Dogs, Chapter 4, The Talking Dog. Is that a bork or a talk? What are dog tails used for?
So many things.
Dr. Mia Cobb is a canine welfare scientist based at the Animal Welfare Science Centre at the University of Melbourne.
When dogs are moving, so if they're balancing, running along a log, it's a bit like a tightrope walker might use a long stick to help them balance. They also use them as a rudder when they're swimming. Dogs that are living in Arctic areas use their tails to keep their noses warm when they're sleeping. They'll tuck them under their tails so that they've got like a bit of a doona over that sensitive soft tissue of their nose. I think most importantly, tails get used for communication.
Bingo! Wait, that was a name-o of a doggo, wasn't it?
Tail position and movement is really important for us being able to understand a dog's emotional state.
Do you think people interpret tail movements in the correct way?
I think it's probably one of dogs' like worst kept secrets. They're not hiding it, but I don't know that we're tuning in as well as we could.
A dog's tail is sort of like a billboard. You can see the message without getting really close. Useful when you're a bit far-sighted.
Dogs' close-up vision isn't awesome. It's not as great as ours. And so having signals for each other to see from a further away is going to reduce conflict, right?
Researchers in Canada even made a robo-dog with a long tail and a robo-dog with a short tail, and size did matter. The long tail was way more accurately read by dogs, probably because it was just heaps more visible.
If I can say, hey, I'm not feeling sure, I don't know that I want you to approach while you're still 10 metres away, that's much better than coming to decision when you're only 30 centimetres away.
Right. Dogs can be very conflict avoidant because when a disagreement can end with a mastiff clasping your jugular, you tend to be careful about how you approach others. So let's get down to business. What is your dog's tail actually saying?
Obviously, a wagging tail is in motion, but you will notice if you look closely, they do tend to bias more one way than the other in the wag. So if it's going more to the right side, that generally indicates that they're feeling pretty good, a more friendly, happy, excited, positive emotional state, we would say.
So if the tail is wagging on the right side, from the perspective of the dog this is, it's happy.
And that's because the rightward bias in the wag is associated with the left hemisphere of the brain, which is generally responsible for positive feelings and approaching behaviours.
But what if the bias of the tail wag is towards the left side?
A left side wag is generally signalling that they're perhaps a little bit unsure or uncertain and probably seeking to increase the space between them and whatever has got their attention. So that might be another dog, it might be a toddler coming up them rapidly, it might be just a loud noise, like a loud car or something like that. So if they're wagging their tail more to the left, they're normally saying, I don't feel so comfortable, I'd like a bit more space between me and whatever's happening around me.
And then sometimes you notice that their like tail is down, like covering their butthole, and sometimes their tail is wagging and up and displaying things.
That's right. So generally more confident dogs, or a dog that is feeling confident, is going to have its tail in a more high position. And that doesn't necessarily mean friendly. So it's important to know that a confident dog might also be about to bite you.
Good to know. High, excited tail doesn't mean friendly. It means confident.
Generally, you know, a high-held tail indicates that they're either pretty excited or feeling pretty confident, and a low-held tail is normally trying to appease whoever's around them.
Then there's the pace of the wag too. Fast is excited, slow is less enthusiastic, and broad, relaxed strokes is happier rather than tight, short, anxious ones.
We know that when we show dogs, other dogs displaying these behaviours, they respond appropriately. So we know that it's really important to them in dog-to-dog communication. They're obviously tuned into each other, and it's something that we can really tune into as well.
So the dog tail is out there broadcasting messages to every other dog and every human. And hell, research has shown that they'll wag at inanimate objects as well. Food, fans, even plastic bags. The tail is a non-exclusive communication machine, but they have been shown to actually wag more when their owner is present. No, so they show their feelings more openly in our company. Or they just really know how to get us in the feels.
Professor Paul McGreevy from the University of Sydney often attributes them as social athletes, and I think that's a really great way of thinking about how well they interact with each other, but also with people.
Dogs are sort of multilingual, at least in understanding different languages. They're obviously experts in dog-to-dog communication, and the tail is part of that, but they are finely tuned to human body language as well.
They're very aware of how we are acting at all times, our behaviour, and if we are giving off signs that we're perhaps a little bit hesitant about something, or someone's making us feel a little bit resistant to getting closer, they're going to pick up on that. And we've got to remember, it's not just our body language that they're seeing physically. Dogs are really olfactory based, so it's all the smells we're giving off in terms of our pheromones and things like that as well that they're responding to. So there may be things we're not even consciously aware that we're sharing that they are picking up on.
So dogs are incredibly attuned to us, all the signs we're giving off. So why is it that we talk down to them?
Hello, Jimmy. Hello.
Got you a good little baby.
Hey, boy.
Don't worry.
Hello, boy.
Everyone does. Researchers call this dog-directed speech, and it's similar to how you talk to infant humans, sometimes called motherese. And that we talk in a similar way to dogs and babies isn't actually very surprising. A 2014 study revealed that adult female human mothers were shown pictures of their dog and pictures of their children, and when they were put in an MRI, their brain lit up in similar ways. So it turns out that, yes, your dog is your mum's favourite kid. Sorry. Anyway, back to the doggy and the baby talk. Scientists got a bunch of adult humans to speak to photos. One photo's of a puppy, one's of an adult dog, and there's one of an old dog, as well as one of a human. They repeated this same line to each of them. Hi.
Hi.
Hello, cutie. Who's a good boy? Come here. Good boy. Yeah. Come here, sweetie pie. What a good boy.
Good boy. Good boy.
They found that to the picture of the puppy, the dog-directed speech was the most pronounced. And okay, fair enough. We are suckers for the puppy dog eyes. But when they played these recordings to dogs, it was the puppies who responded most to the dog-directed
good
speech.
Boy. Come here. Good boy. Yes, come here, sweetie pie. What a good boy.
Now, despite older dogs not responding to this baby talk more than other human speech patterns, the humans persisted in trying to speak in that sing-songy voice to the older dogs too. How demeaning. Maybe it's because of the absolutely idiotic look they sometimes get on their face, I don't know. But it does seem like the least we can do is to do our best to learn the tail wags and the other ways that dogs are communicating with you.
Dogs have got a lot of muscles in their face and their facial expressions can change based on how they're feeling, but also actively choosing to change their faces, so to make expressions as well.
So, how to read your dog's mind by reading their face. First, you need to learn how to look for tension.
You'll notice if they're looking all loose and floppy and relaxed and happy, they might have a slack jaw and be just slightly panting but with an almost smiley face, and their eyes will look soft and their ears will be positioned in a way that's maybe slightly folded backwards, whereas a more tense dog will tend to have a closed mouth that will look quite tight through their cheeks. Their eyes will look harder.
Another thing to look for is whites of their eyes. This is a dog feeling nervous. And a dog who is not happy will often have their ears pinned right back as far as they can go. And so they can be giving you one or all of these signs at the same time as sitting, as not making sounds, and being otherwise apparently calm. Your dog could effectively be saying,
mad.
Without saying,
mad.
Wait, is that a dog pressing a button that says,
mad.
For centuries, talking animals, and talking dogs in particular, have been talked about. One of the first women executed under anti-witchcraft laws in England was apparently given away by her dog, which walked next door and asked for some butter before letting itself into the dairy and just taking it anyway. But most often, talking dogs were parts of roving performances, circuses, you know, with the aim of entertaining humans, not really in getting a dog to talk. And while we might have laughed and gasped, we also always knew that we might have been being had. But we just can't help it. That we could be Dr. Doolittles ourselves is a fantasy that so many of us have. There have been mechanisms over time used to try to communicate, including dogs trained to recognise certain cards and bring them to their owners when they want that thing. Or there was Chaser, the Border Collie, who knew up to 1,000 toys by verbal command. Or Bunny from I Am Bunny on TikTok, who has 8.6 million followers and who apparently can use around 70 word buttons in different combinations to do things like tell you that she's got something stuck in her paw. How?
Ouch.
Ouch.
Stranger.
Paw.
Paw.
The buttons are the latest iteration of us trying to understand our dogs and getting them to speak. You buy buttons, you record sounds on them, out, in, toilet, smash the patriarchy, things like that. Clive Wynn is a professor of psychology at Arizona State University.
And so you can buy a kit of a dozen or two dozen or 50 or 60 of these buttons.
Mad. Ouch.
Then through a process of reinforcement, demonstration and repetition, the concept of walkies is imprinted on the dog.
And with a bit of luck, at least occasionally, the dog will press the buttons in a sequence that leads to the dog appearing to say something interesting, intelligent, amusing or whatever.
Yeah. You did hear that right. Clive Wynn has a bit of a tone going. Is this dog's talking?
No. I don't believe that it is. I think there are a few things happening there. One is that you keep the camera on the dog all day long and you keep encouraging the dog to use the buttons all day long. If the dog has pressed the buttons for an hour or so over the course of a day, then at the end of the day, you can look through and you might be able to find a 20 or 30 second snippet that will go nicely on TikTok or whatever that looks like the dog was trying to say something intelligent.
This is one of the most common criticisms of this phenomenon, It's not really a critique of the buttons per se, it's a critique of the video editing for social media, and probably of people's interpretation of what is happening right in front of them with their dogs. But let's try and put that to the side for a little bit at least.
There are now a couple of published scientific studies on this, and the dogs do seem to show some sense that certain buttons and sounds go with certain things.
I did not want to do this study. I really did not want to do it.
That is Federico Rossano, the only dog researcher I have met so far who really wishes he wasn't a dog researcher.
What I was doing before, what I'm still doing, I study baboons in Kenya. I have a field site of baboons that I go to every summer and spend months looking at. I've studied great ape communication, gestures in primates and vocalizations for years. I keep publishing on it.
He's the director of the Comparative Cognition Lab at the University of California, San Diego.
But people are like, hey, there are thousands of people out there who are doing it.
He's talking about the dog button thing.
And some of these dogs have millions of followers. And people would like to know, is this good or bad? We need to show all the issues there are, including randomness, including people who make claims that cannot be met with actual evidence.
Claims include things like existential stuff, dogs which apparently report what they dreamt, what they felt. Stuff that seems incredible and also enticing, because who hasn't wanted to know what a dog dreams of and what they feel? So Federico and his colleagues set up an incredibly vast study to try and pick all of this apart.
So we started in 2020 mainly as kind of a curiosity to follow what was happening on social media and the fact that a lot of people seem particularly keen on training their dogs with these buttons. We have 10,000 dogs and about 700 cats in the study as well. And they're in 47 countries. So it's a pretty international project. And we try to track every button press. So we have automated button presser with timestamps, and we're getting approximately 700,000 button presses a month. And we know that Timmy pressed these three buttons at 2 p.m. today.
And what does all the tracking tell us?
Not every dog is equally good at it, which is obvious for anybody who had more than one dog in their lives. One of the main things that we're noticing is that many of them are using the buttons in a reasonable way, which is to basically request for things. So they use more frequently than chance buttons like treat, water, play, outside, and significantly less than chance buttons like all done, love you, and things like that, that the human might actually really care about, actually has been training, but it's not necessarily what they want to signal. No. No, it's not a button that they love to use very much.
So yeah, you might want to know whether your dog loves you, but instead you'll find out they're demanding food or telling you that they do not want to get on their own bed. No.
You want outside?
This is Copper. She wants to go outside, but not just run around.
Okay. The pool is drained right now, but I guess I could fill it up again.
Copper's human uses the buttons to explain that back to her.
Well, outside. Later.
Copper does not want to wait. And a necessary footnote. We've edited these interactions for duration. These interactions take way longer in real life.
What we also find is that some of them seem to be combining these buttons in ways that are non-random. And so they could be doing things like want food or want water or want outside, so that they're kind of communicating slightly more complex meanings.
Want outside, want play, want pat, want world peace. Okay, slightly more complex, but how many dogs are actually stringing together phrases, remembering that there are about 10,000 dogs in this study?
What we know is that we have about 60 dogs that have more than 100 buttons that they're using on a regular basis, but we also have a few hundreds that never learn.
About 60 are absolutely stellar button presses, but hundreds fail to press buttons of their own volition. Most dogs are one-press wonders, mirroring what you probably already know that your dog already knows. Walkies, din-dins, outside.
But also be ready for the possibility that there are outliers, just like in humans. There might be, out of the 10,000 that you look at, there might be 10, 20, 30 that are actually amazing, because maybe it's not just about buttons. Maybe it's just these animals are very good, very smart, very communicative, very capable. And I think as a human, just like we like to see, you know, the athletes that are amazing in performing things and the scientists that win the Nobel Prize and the filmmaker that makes this amazing movie, you want to know, are there dogs that can do things that until now we only believe only humans could do it?
This is Samson. He wants to go outside because he can hear his neighbour dog is already out there. His first technique is old school. Then he tries a trusted idea. Potty. His human says no because he just went out. So Samson tries again with one button that says it all.
Let's go to the park.
Still not interested. So Samson goes back to the old school comms. And then gets more direct, combining two buttons.
Come. Outside.
Oh, come outside.
Most people think that the better dogs at understanding language are border collies, because the previous studies have shown that border collies can learn a lot of words. In my study, the better dogs that we have in terms of using buttons and so on are actually mixed breed. They're not border collies. There's a couple of border collies that are good, but most of them are mixed breed, which is a good reminder that you don't need to have a selected breed or a designer breed to have a very smart creatures living with you that might have something to communicate. Be open to the possibility that intelligence is out there and doesn't come dressed up in special clothes.
So your dog might be one of the special ones. It might, but the compelling videos on social media, the really compelling ones, are where those dogs talk about absent friends or existential stuff. Do we know if they're truly talking about what it means to be a dog?
Okay, this is actually a great question. I really appreciate this question because people ask me like, hey, what do you think about the video in which they talk about their dreams? I'm like, I cannot even tell you if when they're saying they are in pain, they actually are in pain. So there is no way I would actually say, oh yeah, they're talking about dreams. So the reality is some of them use words that sound like emotions, like mad or frustrated or happy or whatever. But do they actually do it in any reliable way? Again, this is something that we need to really investigate.
There is a thing called the clever hands effect. This was named for a horse that could apparently do maths, but was actually just really good at reading human body language and reactions, so he knew when to stop tapping his foot. Are the dogs feeling happy, or do they act on subtle cues from the human to press love you?
The message I would like to give is, do not think that you get these buttons and all of a sudden your dog is going to start telling you about their internal sort of despair or excitement. Most likely will just learn to tell you when they're hungry and when they need to pee.
Which they will probably already tell you without the buttons. Are the buttons that say outside potentially creating lazy owners or just even making the dogs less doggy?
And that's the reason why some people don't even want this work to be published, is because they say by putting it out, you're basically telling people that this is what they should be doing instead of telling them to learn how to read dog spontaneous communications. Yes, would it be great for humans to understand their dogs much better? 100%. And yet there's 350,000 people a year that end up in the ER because of dog bites.
That's a stat for the USA only. In Australia, it's thought that there are about 100,000 dog bites recorded a year and 2,000 hospitalizations.
And those dog bites happen because somebody doesn't quite understand when they should back off and not do what they're doing.
And let's be real, buttons are not going to fix that sort of problem. The dog is already telling you to respect its personal space. It's just that you're not listening to its signs.
I'm not selling buttons. I'm not inviting people to buy buttons. To me, this is happening no matter what I do, and nobody wanted to study it.
Told you. The most reluctant dog researcher in all the world. These dog buttons are a huge worldwide ask of our apparent best friend. We're asking dogs to take one more step towards our way of being instead of the other way around.
I'm not actively against it as an amusing thing to do. I don't think there's active harm in it, but I do think if you want to understand your dog, listen to your dog, watch your dog, maybe sniff your dog. I don't know. I've not actually had the courage to do it, but I have wondered sometimes what would it be like if we sniffed her rear end? Would we learn much?
Well, how would she feel? Because maybe she'd feel like you're trying to speak her language.
Well, she might like that. I don't know.
Report the findings of your dog communication experiments and observations back to me, Dog Taran Jones. You can email us whattheduck@abc.net.au. What the Duck is produced on the lands of the Kulin Nation.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.